44th annual mission conference. It's the only Tuesday of this conference, so you did well to be here. We got a special treat for you today. Fellow was a missionary for about 3 years. He might think it was a waste of time, but no, he drugged me along during those 3 years and got me ready. I really do believe it made a difference in my life, the fact that I spent 3 years of my childhood on the mission field. It made a difference, and I think God used that. But you guys know him. I don't think he needs any introduction. Lyndall Kincaid, come on up.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He's not going back to the mission
field. No, I am not volunteering.
Hold on, waiting for you, brother.
Well, let me tell you what, I'll just digress here and tell you a little story. Every mission conference I was in, I would be convicted. I wanted to go back. I wanted to go somewhere. And when Russia opened up, when the wall came down in Berlin, and Russia opened up, I had a real burden to go to Russia and teach English in some school and start a work there. So I went to my wife. We'd bought the 13 acres in Bernie. And we had our house on it. And she's the one. She just loved it. In fact, she told me, said, if before I do, I'm going to stay right here. So the kids have an 84-mile trip that they don't have to take, because I'm within 5 miles of most of my kids and the church. So at any rate, I said, well, if you die, I'm heading back to town. And anyway, I told her, it was before that, I told her, I said, what would you do, how would you feel if we sold this property and we went to Russia and tried to start a work? She said, you follow God, I'll follow you. God bless my heart.
Yes, amen.
I got a bunch of verses, and you know how I am, so about 9 o'clock you might get a chance, brother. Look at Mark, Mark chapter 16, and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall all the world. Preach the gospel to everyone. Preach the gospel to everyone. All the world. Let's pray. Lord, give me help.
Amen.
Help me to speak truthfully from your word. Help me, Lord, to be filled with your spirit, with a joy and a peace in believing and rejoicing in all that you've done and all the blessings you've been in my life and the life of this church and these missionaries and families. Give us help tonight with the Holy Spirit. We would like a revival, Lord. We'd like our hearts revived. We'd like our direction clear. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people think that days of missions is over. From what I read in that verse and some of the other verses that I'm going to see, I don't see how it can be over. Now, as we've talked about the Great Commission, and we've talked about, someone said, the Great Command. And that's exactly what it is. It is not just a commission, it is a command.
Right.
He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody, every creature. And someone said, that's an impossible task. Man, I'm telling you, every missionary knows it. You go to a foreign place and you can't speak the language hardly at all, and or maybe not at all. I knew one missionary in Mexico that had a translator for 20 years. Never did learn Spanish. Never would trust himself to speak in Spanish. I think that's a shame.
Yeah.
But at any rate, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Well, now, if I covered all of San Antonio, we got about 2 million people we could draw to that could drive to this church easily. Now, that's plenty of a mission field, wouldn't you think? 2 million people in all these little towns all around here and going. I used to drive 40-something miles each Sunday, but twice on Sunday, maybe four times on Sunday. Going to all the world. That is a great big command. Preach the gospel to every creature. Tremendous, tremendous. Have we done it? No. We haven't done it. Now, we've made a stab at it. Bless your heart. There's some Polish Christians that are saved today that weren't saved a few years ago.
Amen.
And there's some Mexican Christians that are saved. And somebody, you might get discouraged because of all of these churches that you started, and they were going good, and then the two pastors can't get along and they split up. Well, I was a Baptist preacher for 14 years. We used to have a saying, Baptists multiply by dividing. And they do. You look back in the history of Texas Baptist, and there was a church that was built out of logs, and they had holes drilled, and they had dowels like sticking in there, and that's where you hung your coat and your hat and your whatever you had. Well, they started to build a new church. And some of them, half of them, wanted to build a new church but have the pegs in the wall. And the other half were more modern. They wanted clothes trees, you know, hanging back out there like that. They split up. There became two kinds of Baptists, peg Baptists and anti-peg Baptists. And both of them are preaching the gospel, trying to win people to Jesus. Don't worry too much about that. Let them go on. Let them make their own way. Let them find their own. God will bring out of it His preachers.
Amen.
God will bring out of it His testimony, and He can do it a whole lot better than you or I can. I guarantee you. Anyway, look at Matthew 28:18. This is the same thing, but said in a little different way, as the gospel is. This is Matthew instead of Mark. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Well, it's not as impossible as you think, because it's all power.
Amen.
If it's God's work and God wants you to help Him do it, no telling what can happen when you just speak the word one day. When you just knock on the right door on the right day, and then all of a sudden you got a whole family saved and preaching and witnessing, and even them going to the mission field because one pastor decided to go by and knock on one day and led a lady to the Lord. And she told her husband, he didn't believe it. He comes home. That same man came back and went into the Lord. And he's still with us. And he's been, I don't know how many years, on the mission field. Praise God. So Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's a lot of power.
Amen.
Go ye therefore, because I have all power on the heaven and the earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Notice that's the name of. That's one name, Jesus. Mark 13:10 makes a simple statement. The gospel must first be published among all nations. God's saying there's something that can't take place until the gospel has gone to certain places. All these places. Among all nations. Acts 10:36 says the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we're preaching?
Amen.
How do you get peace with God? Well, you say, I'll live a better life, or I'll give $5 to the preacher the next time I come by, or I'll go to church once a year, and surely God will forgive me, right? No. Peace by Jesus Christ. Over 61 years ago, I remember it well. This September 1st coming, it'll be 62 years. When I got saved, the peace of God that came into my heart,
amen,
it hadn't left me yet.
Amen.
I'm still rejoicing in that.
Amen.
My sins are gone. They're forgiven. They've been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I heard that.
Amen.
There are a lot of people that haven't heard that. There's still a world out there that does not know about Jesus Christ. Don't even know the name. I grew up not in a very religious family. We went to church mostly on Sunday mornings. And but there was a Bible in the house. There was a piano in the house and hymn books. And we weren't that faithful to church, but we sang a lot of hymns together. There were four of us in it, and my dad could read all these shape notes and whatever, and he'd set us all up, you know, each of the four parts, and we'd learn them, and as long as we were singing hymns, my next door neighbor didn't call the police. But the minute my sister changed to Mr. 5x5, he's 5 foot tall and he's 5 feet wide, he don't measure no more from his head to his toe than he do from side to side, bouncing that piano, the policeman would drive up. All we had to do when they left was start singing hymns. And little Christian woman not next door to us, because we didn't have even a fan. You bunch of wimps, you got air conditioning and everything. So what you did in one house, everybody for six houses down knew about it. Parents, adults, sat on their front porch till 10 o'clock because the house was too hot. You bunch of wimps got to have air conditioning everywhere. And I'm worse than you are. The peace by Jesus Christ. If you've got the peace of God, you simply cannot measure the value of that thing in your heart. Got a problem in this world. You watch the news enough, no news is good news. Almost all news that's news is bad news. And sometimes I really get tired of the bad news. But then, they won't teach my news. Peace. Peace with God. I knew I was a sinner because I was in a religious home and I was been taken to church for years. I knew I was a sinner. I was hoping when I died I would be among the 50% was just a little bit better than the other 50%, you know, that was going to go to hell. Peace. Peace with God. I owe a great debt. We got a beautiful song we sing. A debt I can't pay, but somebody paid that debt for me.
Amen.
Wow, that gave me peace. You know what I do now? I walk into God's presence every day. I don't walk in there fearful. I'm a son. I'm dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm clean.
Amen.
I'm not dirty. I'm not nasty. I'm not ugly. I'm clean. My righteousness is not mine, but it's Christ's righteousness. And when he brought it to me, he brought me peace.
Amen.
Peace with Jesus Christ. That's what we're preaching. Luke 24:47 also has another little thing that goes along with this. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Hey, what about this peace? It has to do with repentance and remission of sins. You walk into the presence of God, you walk in as a sinner. When you come seek God and you seek for salvation or forgiveness of sins and acceptance with God and you want this peace of God in your heart, man, you don't have a way to get to God. It's like if I wanted to go to the governor of the state, I couldn't get to him. I can't get to a councilman in San Antonio. What are you talking about? But I can go walk into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. The great, my great high priest, the great high priest, the only Savior in the world, the greatest name ever spoken, Jesus Christ. Wow. Repentance and remission. Throughout the Bible, over and over again, you're going to find it saying, if you'll confess your sins. All you got to do, confess your sins. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I've done this. Lord, I've done this. Lord, I don't deserve you. You can walk into the presence of Almighty God. You realize how rich a truth that is? You realize what that has for people out there that have nothing else? You and I live in the richest country, the richest bubble, we say, that's ever been. Our welfare people have more money than most of the people ever born since Adam. And you and I are rich. Rich. Air-conditioned cars, air-conditioned houses, new cars every 4 or 5 years. Wow. What a blessing.
Amen.
You ought to get up every day thanking God. You ought to thank him for the food you got. You ought to thank him for the money you got. You ought to thank him for the retirement you got. You ought to thank him for the church that you've got. You ought to thank him for the salvation that you have. Wow, what a debt we owe. Look at Ephesians 1:20 and 21. He's talking about Christ, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now notice verse 21. Far above all principality, that's princes, and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is all to come, which is to come. Every name. Wow. You want a name to glorify? Not yours. Yours isn't worth much. Some of you are pretty good guys, but then sometimes you're a jerk. Amen or oh me. Wow. Every name that is named, not another name in history. And there won't be one any greater that's coming. Don't use him as a byword. Don't use him as a byword. That just grates on my nerves. I've actually talked to some of them, asked, are you praying? You're saying Jesus or Jesus Christ. Are you praying? You ought to be. Because he's real. He's not a cuss word. He's not a byword. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And notice what Ephesians 22 says. And hath put all things under his feet and gave it to him to be the head over all things to the church. I don't care if your church can boast great crowds and great membership and whatever. It better be honoring Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
It's going to be a complete waste.
Amen.
There's an awful lot of things going on in churches that they have no business going on. There's a lot of competition between churches that has no business being there. What we ought to be doing is preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, for me, that's a King James Bible. If you want any other Bible, go ahead. I've read a bunch of them. I went to college and they taught me all of them. Well, not all. There's too many. But I had 20 or 30 that I consulted every so often. And I kept coming back when I was early preaching, and I kept testing my thinking and the verses that I was using. And of course, you got Williams and you got Wiest and you got the New E and the old A or whatever. And when I'd get through, I'd just go back to the old King James. And I finally said, I don't need any other Bible. It's good enough for me. And I finally come to a place to believe, I believe it's the Word of God in English. I don't believe it's the Word of God in Spanish. I don't believe it's the Word of God in Polish. I believe it's the Word of God in English.
Amen.
Because God's used it. And it's His sword, not yours.
Yep, right.
You don't even have a right to choose your own sword. God gives you that opportunity, and many of you do it. But I tell you what, it's His sword. And every soul that gets saved, whether it's here or whether it's out in the middle of Africa, takes a miracle.
Amen.
That means God has to come in and touch a life and enter a life and change a mind and change a heart and change a spirit and fill you with eternal life. Wow. That's a miracle. It doesn't just happen. I know we have a lot of ideas about soul winning. And somebody said, well, they're a better soul winner than somebody else. You don't win anybody. You may present the Word of God, but if God does not perform a miracle in that heart,
that's right, that's
they're
right.
going to go to hell.
That's right.
You might have them churched and baptized and headed for hell. But if God does not perform a miracle in the soul of that son, they're not saved. I was a church member about 10 years before I was saved. I said I was saved. And when I married my wife, she was a better Christian than I was, and I knew it. And I said, well, her church was a Baptist church, and I just went and got dunked. And I said, well, it wasn't much difference between Baptist and Methodist, but a little bit of water, so Not a big deal. We'll put the family together. And then I went out in New Mexico in the Air Force and got a hold of a revived church. You ever seen a revived church? You ought to see a revived church. You ought to be praying every day for this church to be revived and for a lot of others to be revived. And we have a movement across this country that would change hundreds of thousands of lives. Wow. I got into a bunch of Christians and they began to witness to me. I love to argue. I still love to argue. It's a lot of fun. And that preacher, every time I would say, what about Cain's wife? What about Jonah and the whale? What about whatever? He'd say, well, young man, I don't know, but the Bible says. He just ate my lunch. An old country preacher. He just ate my lunch. 7 to 11 one night. When he left, I read Genesis before I went to bed. And I read the first 5 books of the Bible in the first 5 nights after that man visited me. And the next Sunday, I got saved.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You just never know. Yeah. Keep on preaching it to every creature. Yeah. Keep on telling it to everybody you come across. Yeah. Keep on preaching on the streets and keep on knocking on the doors. I know they don't want to see you. I don't want to see anybody coming to my door. I don't. I really don't. They want to come by and they want to sell me a roof. I got a good roof. In Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Now you reckon if we get the gospel to all of San Antonio, we've completed that verse? I don't think so. All the ends of the earth. Somebody is going to sacrifice themselves, their family, their future, their wealth, to go to some little tribe, all the ends of the earth. It's an amazing thing what some missionaries are doing right now. I've seen some of them that went into these places way back off of nowhere. Gave up all the advantages of civilization and what we rejoice in here in America. Just to win a few souls. Just to see somebody say, yes, praise God, yes.
Amen.
All the ends of the earth. I don't think we've finished the Great Commission or the Great Command. I don't think it's finished yet. I don't believe it's going to be finished until Jesus comes back.
Right.
I don't believe the church has a right to not support worldwide missions. I believe it's the most selfish thing, self-centered thing, to build you a great church and have great things and great paintings and stained glass and every kind of thing and a bowling alley and a football field and a baseball field and a mama's day out. And you don't do anything for missions. Or you do so little, it makes no difference. 2 Corinthians 5:19 is another verse that sort of fits along in this idea. I don't generally preach of this many verses, but I did to this. To wit, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, amen, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Do you realize the shoes you're walking in when you walk up to a door to tell them how to get saved? Do you realize that you're in the place of God? I've seen some people when I walked up to the door and I could look through them, see them in the houses, and they weren't going to answer the door. And of course, I don't necessarily blame them. Like I told you, I don't like anybody knocking on my door. But I thought about it when I walked away. You don't know the riches I had for you.
Yep, exactly.
You don't know why God sent me to knock on your door, because he had a message for you that would give you peace, that would heal your marriage, that would bless your children, that would turn you into a person that has peace with God. Change your life completely. My life was changed. My friends told me out at the base, the airman I was working with, he'd give you 2 weeks. You'll get over it. You had a bad dose of religion. You'll get over it. 61 years, going to be 62 September 1st. Oh, no, man. I got to change.
Yes, amen.
My wife got a new husband.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And boy, my wife shortly responded to that new man. Wonderful thing. Hey, I had her for 62 years and a half. Been married to her almost 60 years, 59 and a half. I loved her, still do. What a gift God gave me.
Amen.
I was 16 when I knew I wanted her. What a gift. Tremendous blessing to have that in your life. To wit, 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What I'm doing is telling you what God told me as ambassador to do. It's not about joining the church. It's not about cleaning up your dress. It's not about shaving your beard. Steve. It's about being reconciled to God. Is God a little far away right now? You need to be reconciled. You know what the problem is with a lot of revivals? They don't get reconciled. Reconciled to God. Their life turned over. Their joy in the Word of God again. Their joy in telling somebody, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. Oh, you're crazy. You must be a nut. No, I just believe the Bible. Verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Do you think the world needs that message? I think it does. I think that's the one message the world really needs. Wow. What did it do for you? I know what it did for me, and I tell you about it all the time. Some of you can give my testimony better than I can. I forget about half of it now. It's my dementia. It's not Alzheimer's. If it was Alzheimer's, I wouldn't remember that I forgot. The word of reconciliation, we're an ambassador for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? It's the highest representative of one government to another country. I'm an ambassador. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people of this world. And God is laying His conditions down. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Ask for mercy. Don't walk up to God proud. Ask for mercy. There is a throne of mercy and grace. And God Almighty answers prayer. Can you imagine? That still is one of the greatest things in my mind. We come here every Wednesday night and we have a prayer meeting. God still answers prayer.
Amen.
Sometimes He says no. You know, John 3:15-16 is just a beautiful passage. John is probably the favorite book of the Bible, period. Especially for New Testament Christians. And it's been probably printed more than any other portions of Scripture, John and Romans, because they both deal with salvation very, very clearly. It's a beautiful thing. And maybe the favorite verse of all people, all Christians, is John 3:16. At John 3:15, it says that whosoever, you know, I wrote my name in there one day. That must mean me. Whosoever, it means you.
Amen.
Whosoever you walked in here and you don't know that you're saved, you maybe think of this all crazy, but something sticks into your heart and the Holy Spirit touches a little something and you say, could that be me? Yes, it could be. Yes, it could be. Whosoever. Good word. Believeth in him should not perish. I did not think of the glories of heaven when I got saved. I thought of the tortures of hell. I didn't get saved because I wanted to add glory to God. I got saved because I did not want to go to hell.
Amen.
The scriptures scared the hell out of me. For God so loved the world. I think he loves this ball we're all riding on. I think he shows his faithfulness that you still got food coming up out of this dirt. And it's just so much you can set your clock by it. You can set your calendars by it. And it's been that way for thousands of years. No telling how long. I believe he does love his work, his creation. It's a fascinating thing. All of it there. It just blows my mind all the time. But when it says God so loved the world, I think he means you. I think he means those African natives that speak their own language. I think he means those South American Indians that don't even speak Spanish. I think he means some of these tattooed fellas that are on drugs out there and running around with their pants falling off of them. He means them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, there's that word again. Verse 15 says, whosoever. Verse 16 says, whosoever. God so loved the world, how about God so loved you?
Thank you, Lord.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
I've got two sons and three daughters. I wouldn't give one of them for any of you.
Yep.
Are you so generous you'd give your child for me? I don't think so. But God did. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm not going to give you all the verses, but I want you to know that we need to do this all the way even unto the end of the world, and that we need to lift up Christ. Now, we have a responsibility right here in this neighborhood. And I've visited this neighborhood many, many times. And I've done some others along the way. I don't do much visiting anymore. I don't walk that well anymore. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of other neighborhoods that have never been touched. I walked on to about a 16-year-old boy sitting on his front porch right over here, just a few blocks. He didn't know about David and Bathsheba. He didn't know about Daniel in the lions. He did not know about David and Goliath. He did not know about Jonah and the whale. He had never been to any kind of church. That's three blocks. Three blocks, a 16-year-old sitting on his front porch. God said, go into all the world. That ought to include this neighborhood. God said, go into all the world. It ought to include San Antonio and all of Texas. God said, go into all the world. That ought to be Mexico and Poland and Germany and Africa and the Congo. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Wow.
Amen.
I don't think missions is over. I think we have so much work to do. It is almost an impossible task. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't go do it, because God said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
Thanks for listening.
Prince calling from, lead us to thee. the border.